It would answer any question you have on what is a Christian and what's right and what is wrong. As he is, so are we in this world. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Let's bow for just a moment of prayer. Father, I want to thank you for the privilege of being in your house tonight. And thank you, Lord, for touching us, giving us a measure of help, Lord. And I pray that you'll help us to be thankful and grateful for that. Lord, no matter how bad we have it, or at least sometimes we think we have it, Lord, we can look around and Lord, see other people that are got it a lot worse than us. And Lord, no matter how bad it ever is in our life, it can be worse. And Lord, I've heard people say it can't get worse, but it, then later on told me, preacher, it got worse. And Lord, I pray you help us to be a thankful people. Brother Silas references that scripture in Romans 1, that list of those people that were immoral and wicked and ungodly. And it said they were not thankful. Now, I wonder, Lord, if that not being thankful had something to do with and connection with their wickedness. And Lord, if we're not thankful, as Timothy makes it very clear, the next word associated with unthankful is that they were unholy. And I pray you help us to know, Lord, if the devil can work ingratitude in us, he can work iniquity in us. And I pray you'll help us to be thankful, not just in November, but to be thankful all the time, because you're blessing us all the time and you're good to us all the time. Pray you help us now as we look at this word of God and speak to us and through us. And may it not be just a lecture and a lesson and a talk and a sermonette, Christianettes, but God, let it be alive to us. God, challenge us on this Wednesday night with these truths. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The last statement of verse number 17 consists of 9 words. And we're looking at it in 3 sections, 3 words to a section. As he is, we've already dealt with that. So are we. And we're, Lord willing, deal with that tonight. And then the last part, in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. Of course, if you'll note with me, just by way of remembrance, verse 17 starts out by dealing with our love. Herein is our love made perfect. And God is interested in our love, right? He's interested in us loving him. He's interested in us not loving the world. Amen. He's interested in us loving him supremely, loving him more than we do ourselves. Remember in Luke chapter 14, he deals with that crowd that was following him with a full stomach because of the meal that he had provided. And he knew their hearts. He knew they were following him, you know, just because he was good to them. And a lot of people still today follows Christ or claims to be of Christ and go to church because he's good to them. And the devil thinks that about you and me. They think, oh yeah, just like Job. Yeah, you're serving God for naught. You're just serving God because God's been good to you. And the devil don't just believe that about Job. The devil believes that about you. Right. He believes that if he can turn the tables on you and bring in some negative circumstances in your life, that he really does believe that you'll quit because he saw multitudes do it. But Jesus, dealing with that crowd, he said, you know, if you don't love me more than you do your mother, father, brother, sister, and all of that. No, he said, except you hate. That's the word he used. Except you hate your father and your mother and your brother and your sister and your wife and yea, even your own self also. He said, you cannot be my disciple. And he's not saying you got to hate these people. But he's saying there that it's in comparative language, that if you compare your love for the Lord to your love that you have for family, he said your love for the Lord ought to be so supreme and so big and so far above any other love that we have in this world that it ought to be compared to each other or look like hate. And we ought to love him supremely. So it's very clear that he's interested in our love. Herein is our love made perfect. And then that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. He deals with our love to start the verse, but then he quickly moves and starts dealing with our likeness. Our likeness, that is, as he is, so are we. Amen. And we dealt with those first three words last time we were in this text. As he is, shows that he is the standard. I'm not the standard. And we mentioned Paul. We mentioned John the Baptist. We mentioned several others. John the Beloved. We mentioned those. But they were not the standard. He's the standard. As he is. It don't take much for you to live like me. It don't take much for you to live better than me. Amen. But I'm not the standard. I'm not the standard. And I know a church needs to have standards, but standards are not for the spiritual. Standards are for the carnal. Somebody full of the Holy Ghost don't need somebody saying, don't do that, and don't say that, and don't wear that, and don't go here. Amen. The Spirit of God will work in you that. He will work that in you.
That's right.
That's right. But there's a danger that when you do have some standards in your church, that there will be some that will adapt to those two or three standards, and they will think, man, I've arrived. But you can line up with every standard we got here and still not be spiritual.
That's right.
I mean, you can look right, dress right, talk right, and still be carnal. In fact, truth is, you can still be lost. Amen. You can be religious, clean, moral, even a Pharisee, as was the Apostle Paul, and still have never been born again.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, as he is, shows us that Jesus is the standard. And I really wanted to, but I didn't feel led to look at the four times the word at, the term as he is shows up in 1 John. Yeah, five times, I believe it is. Chapter 1, verse 7. And then chapter 3, verse 2. Chapter 3, verse 3. Chapter 3, verse 7. And then our text, chapter 4, verse 17, you'll find those three words, as he is. As he is. And I'm afraid our problem today is it not that we are as he is. Our problem is that we're not as he is. That's the problem, amen. And of course, we can be as he is. That's God's expectation of us.
Right.
But as he is shows that he's the standard. It shows that he is the same as he is. Brother Frank, that word is big. Not as he was or as he's going to be, but as he is. Because he is what he was. And what he shall be, he is. I'm glad he never changes. Boy, would we not be in a mess if he changed? If he changed his mind. If he changed and said, well, I said that before, but I don't mean it now. That would cancel all the promises.
Right.
I mean, that'd be bad, wouldn't it?
Right.
And always changing. The Bible said, meddle not with them that are given to change. But I'm glad he's the standard and he's always the same. Let's quickly move to our second set of words here in our verse. As he is, and most people don't have too much problem with that, Brother Silas. The problem most people have is this next part. So are we.
Right.
So are we in this world. I wrote this down today. Most in church don't mind him being holy and him being right and him being unchanging. Most people don't mind that. They're thankful that he is what he is, you know. They're thankful for that. But they don't want to change. They don't want it to affect their life. And this next set of words shows us that it affects us. What he is, who he is, affects us. Amen. As he is, so are we in this world? So are we. Amen. I wrote this down. That was good. The Lord fed my heart with it today. Many would say they are glad that Jesus became like us. Well, there's verses that shows that, and I just want to reference one, Hebrews 7, 25 and 26. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, that coming to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Listen to the next statement. For such an high priest became us. So you can find people in any church that are glad that Jesus became us. He became like us in his incarnation. Oh yeah. In fact, we couldn't have got saved if he hadn't have done that. But that's not what this verse is talking about. This verse is talking about us becoming like Him. As He is, so are we. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right, isn't it?
That's true.
But most of the church today will think little about us becoming like Him. In fact, if you were to ask this question in most churches, and if everybody be honest, I don't know that we'd get too many positive answers. How many in this church service tonight, from the pulpit all the way through, are making a daily continual effort to become like Christ? I wonder how many of us, even in the last 48 hours, 2 days, I wonder how many of us in the last 48 hours have saw something in our own life that was not Christ-like and said, that ain't like Christ right there. Christ would not have thought that. Christ would not have said that. Christ would not have went there. Christ would not have wore that. Christ would not have, huh? Come on now.
That's right.
Is that not the Holy Spirit's business to point out in your life things inwardly and outwardly that is not Christ-like?
Right,
when's the last time you heard anybody stand up in a service and say, the Lord's been dealing with me about this, and I maybe not identify it, but just say the Lord's been dealing with me about something, and I'm giving this up for the Lord. You don't hardly ever hear that. Besides, when I got saved, that 7-week revival, it was nightly, just about it. Every night, 7 weeks of a meeting. And almost every night there was somebody, God's dealing with me about this, God's speaking to me about this, pray for me about this, God is speaking to me, and amen. I kind of got tickled at a young man in the church. I just thought about it. It's kind of funny. It wasn't funny to him, I'm sure. But the Lord had been dealing with him about giving up his bad hooked on dipping skull or something. And I mean, God had been dealing with him, and he had even requested prayer for it, and all that. And I mean, this place was packed. I don't know if it was there. Standing room only. Needless to say, God knows how to embarrass you. When God's dealing with you about something, you might as well just go ahead and deal with it, because He knows how to embarrass you. And I mean, he was walking down the aisle. The place was packed. And out of his pocket, how it happened, but out of his pocket came that little can. And it didn't hit flat, it hit on the edge, and it rolled all the way down the aisle, all the way up around the front toward the altar, and finally over here. Needless to say, he turned about 40 shades of red. But I wonder, of course, he gave it up. I believe I would have too. I believe I'd have said something along the lines, "Brother Travis, you lost something." I'd have tried to divert the attention to somebody else or something. But as He is, so are we in this world. I'm glad. And by the way, let me just put those two together. If you're not glad that He became you, you're not too interested in you becoming like Him. See, that's where most preachers are. We're trying to get people to make strides and steps into Christ's likeness when they're not too tickled about Christ coming here to begin with.
Right. That's
true. Amen. That's right. But you get excited about Him becoming like you, amen, and what all that entailed, what all that meant, then you should be excited about Him, you being like Him. Miss Jenny Rochester sings a song. If I wasn't about three-fourths dead right now with this cold, I'd probably fire off on something. I sung it in the bathroom getting ready, and it scared me. But she sang that song, "His Life for Mine." Powerful. Probably one of my favorite songs, especially from her, and she can let her rip on that. "His Life for Mine." But the whole song's about that. But then somebody needs to write a verse. And I put part of one together in the bathroom. Probably nobody needs to hear it. But somebody needs to put an ending on there of another verse about our life for His. Because it is not one-sided. His life for mine, yes, in salvation. But I want to tell you, in adoration and thanksgiving, we ought to take and present our lives to Him and say, Lord, this is the least I can do, is to give you my life, not as a payment, not as a repay for my salvation. Oh, no. But just to honor you.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
That's right.
That's right. Of course, we all know to be a Christian, it means to be what? Christ-like. The term Christian is mentioned three times in your Bible. And they were first called Christians at Antioch.
Right.
And that was a name given that was not a name of praise, but rather a name of reproach. That was people making fun of them. And they were basically saying that you disciples, you're just like that man that walked the shores of Galilee whose name was Christ. You're just a little Christ. And that's what God says we're supposed to be. As He is, so are we in this world. Well, that's right. So we need to move on and deal with some other things here real quickly. But I'm glad that WWJD, though the principle is excellent, it's more than just a piece of jewelry, and it's more than just a slogan on a t-shirt or something. Amen. If we would adapt that in our life, Brother Clipper, what a change it would be. What would Jesus do? Every day, everything, every decision, what would Jesus do in this manner? What would Jesus do in this situation? A father asked a little girl one time, what is a Christian? And his little girl responded, and thought a minute and responded. She said, well, I guess it would be what Christ would be if he is a little girl. And that's what a Christian is. Amen?
Amen.
Would a Christian be disobedient to parents? Would Christian have a bad attitude? Or would Christ have a bad attitude? Would Christ be smart mouth and sassy to the mom and dad? Would Christ, you know, would he not read his Bible? Would Christ not pray? Would Christ lay out of church? Would Christ not tithe? I mean, you could run that
right
on and on.
That's right.
Ask yourself, would Jesus do? You know, if he was a girl, would he wear that? If he's a boy, would he go there? Or whatever. And run it by Christ. He's the standard. As he is, so are we in this world. But I thought about this. Of course, you can apply that to various areas. But I wonder if Christ would be defeated if he is here. I wonder if Christ would be discouraged. Of course, I know the answer to that. But would Christ be discouraged if he was here? Would Christ be defiled? Would he have sin in his life? Of course not. And we ought to endeavor to be as Christ-like as possible. Would Christ make the choices you're making? Would Christ respond to situations and circumstances as you are? Would Christ be running his mouth about others as many times we do? Amen. Would Christ be slack in prayer? Would Christ be burdenless about sinners? I don't think we're too Christ-like. When I ran those questions, and I've got a bunch of them here, if I run them through my life, I begin to think, Lord, I'm not too Christ-like. I'm not too Christ-like. In fact, I think I'm more like the world than I really want to admit to. Amen. But notice this word so. Let me move on quickly. The word so. As he is, so are we. That word so is a word of comparison. As he is, get that picture. Get that in your mind. Get that in your heart. As he is, and then he comes and drops the bomb on us and says, so are we. There should be a comparison. We ought to walk accordingly. Consequently, the word so would indicate. But then the word are stuck out to me. So are we. It didn't say so will we be, or so might we be, or so could we be. It said so are we. And the word are identifies the state of being. God wants us to be, and that word be identifies state of being as well. God wants us to be what He is. The word are that's attached to us in this verse And the word is that's attached to him are connected in this statement. As he is, so are we. And that word we is all inclusive. That includes the preacher, that includes the lay member, that includes the youngest, that includes the oldest, that includes everybody that's saved.
Amen.
As he is, so are we. Now come on, you quickly get on me if I was very, very visibly living a worldly life with it. And rightfully so. I mean, give me my walking papers and say, preacher, you know, something snapped. We call them the men in the white coats. You something's wrong with you. You know, if you saw me run around town with a pair of Bermudas on, amen, you'd say, preacher has snapped. Amen. Just give me his walking papers. He's crazy. And I would be. I promise you. Say amen right there. I'll say my own amen. It won't bother me none. Amen. But you would say, oh, preacher, you need to be on this level, and yeah, you need to adhere to these standards. And yes, preacher, you need to be spiritual and spirit-filled and spirit-controlled. What about you?
That's right. Amen.
I mean, what about the layman? What about the person that's been saved 5 minutes? The person that's been saved 5 weeks? The person that's been saved 50 years? It doesn't matter. We is all inclusive. As he is Christ, so are we. You talk about revival, friend. That right there, breakout revival in any person and any church where everybody's trying to be like Christ.
Amen.
So are we. May there be a connection between the word we and the word he. Amen. I wonder sometimes where is the conformity? As he is, so are we. That speaks of conformity. As he is, so are we. We're being conformed to his image. Does that sound like a verse of scripture? Does that sound like Romans chapter number 8 and verse 29? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his dear son.
Right.
Predestination has absolutely nothing to do with destiny. Nowhere is it mentioned in the scripture where it has to do with a man's soul and where he's going to spend eternity.
Right.
But you will find that when you see the word predestined or predestinate, my friend, it's always applying to believers. Always.
Yes, that's right.
And as Romans 8 and 29 shows us, the word predestinate, that is a predetermined outcome. God says, I put an unalterable, unchangeable, unstoppable decree on your life that when I save you, I'm going to work in you, I'm going to work on you, I'm going to work around you, and I'm going to conform you to the image of my son Jesus Christ.
That's right.
How many of us here at the service tonight would agree that God wants us like his son Jesus?
Amen. That's right.
I mean, I would say, Brother Frank, if God would be willing for his son to come here and be like sinful man, without sin, of course, but he come here and he took upon the form of a servant. He come here and with all humility, oh, you think God liked that? You think God liked that? No, I promise you God didn't like that, but he did that because he knew that there was no other hope for us. He knew that there was no hope for us to get saved apart from his incarnation, him, the Son of God, coming here and becoming the Son of Man, so we could have a kinsman redeemer.
Amen.
You think he liked that? You think he had joy? You think, oh yeah, jump up and down on the throne, and his son was going to be spit on? No. No, I promise you. He chose you. He chose you really over his son. I would have done that. I'd have chose my son over you, and you would have done the same, but no, not God. God chose you over his son.
easy for that. Wasn't easy on his end. You think it's going to be easy for you and I to move in that direction of Christ-likeness? No, your flesh will fight it.
That's right. Amen.
Your flesh will fight it. Your family will fight it in many cases. And your friends will fight it in many cases. But most definitely the foe, the devil will fight it. And this world will fight against it.
Amen.
Amen. If you lay under a bridge drunk all every night of your life, amen, live under a cardboard box, the world won't think much about it. But you name the name of Christ, amen, and lay sin down and start walking with God and say, I love Jesus, I'm a born-again Christian. And the world, my friend, will look down their nose at you and persecute you.
That's right.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Somebody said if we live more like Christ, the world would probably treat us more like they did him. The world hated him, and if they could, then he'd come back right now. If they could, they won't. They'll never. They'd crucify him again. I promise you that. This world despises Jesus. But how many people in church are on good, friendly terms with this world? It's no wonder the world don't persecute the church much anymore, because we're more on the buddy-buddy system. But I remember we made that statement, but I've quoted it many times. If we lived more like Christ, the world would probably treat us more like they did him. The world measures success with stars.
Right.
They've got their movie stars and sports stars, and they have all these stars, but Jesus don't measure success with stars. He measures it with scars. Paul said, I buried my body in the marks the Lord. But our persecution now is if somebody don't shake their hand. Can you imagine getting to heaven and meeting the martyrs? Meeting those in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you ever read that book in your lifetime, get to meet all them people that were, I mean, brutally killed for the cause of Christ. I wonder how many people will deny the Lord when the pressure gets on.
That's true.
Where's that shooting at? In Oregon, was it? In Oregon where that man would ask them if they were a Christian, and if they said yes, he'd kill them immediately. I wonder how many, knowing that's what's coming. Now, if you were the first one, you may not know that, but if you're the second, third, and the list goes on, then you would know that if I say yes, it's over for me. I wonder how many preachers would say yes, knowing the penalty, knowing the outcome. I've heard Dr. J. Harold Smith say this. I've heard him many times in person. Of course, he's in heaven now. But I heard him say that out of the five crowns that you can have, he said, you know, of course, he said the one that he longs to have is the martyr's crown. Of course, he never got that, but I've heard him say that what an honor it would be to have that crown, to die for the cause of Christ. But now, if somebody don't shake our hand or, you know, kind of frown at us a little bit, we get the poochie lip for days. I was in the hospital here in Rogersville this week and talking to a man, and he don't go to church, and he kept talking about being hurt. Well, preach, I don't go to church, I get hurt. And he mentioned this. I've been to this church, and I got hurt. I went to that church, I got hurt. I've been to this church, I got hurt. And the list went on. And I got with him just a little bit. And I seen that I better back off just a little bit, because he couldn't take much. But I thought when I left the room, and I wanted to tell him, but he couldn't handle it. I wanted to tell the man, I'm thankful Jesus Christ didn't allow offenses to control his decisions. Had he would have never went to the cross. Brother Silas, he would have never died. He would have never been betrayed. He would have never been abandoned. He would have never been spit on. They would have never laid their greasy hands on him in any kind of a disrespectful manner. If he was afraid of offenses, and if he tried to dodge hurts. And we're about like that. We're almost that tender. Ain't that right, church? We're about that tender. But
And I'm going to tell you, God, a lot of times, can use those things in your life. Somebody said, God will never use you greatly, but he hurts you deeply. But where's the conformity? As he is, so are we. We are to emulate him. We are to be a copy of him. Back there in the sound room, we have a copy machine. Now, I was going to do it, but we don't have the time tonight. You could take, and I could write Jesus. I could write the name Jesus on a piece of paper and let that be the original. We could put it in that copier and hit copy, and it would spit out a copy. You could take that copy, Brother Fultz, and compare it to the original, and it would look the same. And then you can take the copy of the original and put it in the copier and hit copy, and the copy of the copy would still look like the original. Jesus said we're to follow him. The word follow means to imitate, to copy. But then we find where Paul says for us to follow him. Be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. Amen. I want to ask you, we all know that Christ is the original. We all know he's the standard. But I wonder, are you a copy? Am I a copy of the original? Where if they bring the original out, as it's revealed right here in the pages of the Holy Word of God, and then put your life beside of it, I wonder if they'd say, well, there's a copy of the original. My. But rather, instead of being conformed to him, I'm afraid we're like Hebrews 12 or Romans 12. I'm afraid we're being conformed to this world. We're being conformed to this world. As he is, so are we in this world. And Jesus, listen, the Holy Spirit of God, his ministry is to conform you into the likeness of Jesus. But I just don't see that happening a whole lot. I'm talking about people who claim to be saved, you know. You know, the Bible said there in Philippians 1:6, be in confidence, the very thing that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Where is that continual work? That good work? I don't see it in a lot of folks. Amen. Galatians 4:19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. You know what analogy he's using there? Mothers here, you know what he's using there? He's using that of a baby inside of a mother, that as it's developing and forming on the inside, it has exterior results. You can spot a lady that's expecting, especially in their later terms, you can spot them as far as you can see them. That's right. Paul said, I want Christ to be formed in you. I want that life of Christ to be formed in you, to where the outside molds around that life that is in you. That's what a mother is. That mother, her body, my friend, molds around that life within you. And I'll tell you that, listen, come on, Mom. That you're so molded around that life that is in you, that's formed in you, that's growing in you, that's developed in you. That listen, you can look and see that foot go across that stomach, or that elbow go across it. Come on. Have you seen it?
Come on.
We ought to have Christ in us, formed in us, developing in us, growing in us, to the point that, my friend, every movement he makes, it shows up on the outside in our life.
Amen.
Amen. Can people see Jesus in you? Vance Havner said this. I thought this was good, and I'll move on quickly. Vance Havner said, when someone said, I don't see many that look like Jesus, and he said, you've been looking at too many churchmen. Boy, he was a witty man, wasn't he? Witty, smart. 2 Timothy 2:19, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Again, Vance Havner said, I'm glad the Lord knows them that are his, because he said, I have a hard time recognizing them. And in that verse, how do you recognize them that are his? It's those that's departing from iniquity. A doctor asked a Christian student one time studying to be a nurse. He asked her, he said, are all the people that are not saved going to hell as you believe? And the nurse-to-be replied, yes. And the doctor said, if you really believe that, then you cannot live as the rest of us live. Wow. That doctor, who evidently was lost, he was saying, do you really believe that all sinners go to hell? You really believe that? And she said, yes. And he said, if you believe that, then you can't live like we live. Isn't that amazing that a lost man, a lost doctrinist can't know more than a lot of church folk?
Right.
A lot of preachers even know more than a lot of preachers? Preachers, I mean, listen, some of the preachers some of the most worldly people in that there is. You can't hardly find a preacher that dresses right. Amen. Amen. I'm not talking about liberals either. I mean, that's pretty standard for them. I'm talking about even in our circle. Even in our circle, preachers that I know have so changed and so declined in their sanctification that then it's not even important anymore. They say, oh, that's legalism. No, they've been watching TVN so long that they think if I'm going to have a crowd, I'm going to have mopy-headed people in, mopy-headed men and boys in here to sing, and we're going to have people in here to do the backyard shuffle and the butterfly. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, preaching will still get the job done in the power of the Holy Ghost. You get a church, Brother Fultz, that's operating in the power of God, and I promise you there will be an attraction there, and there will be people getting saved there. Amen. You don't have to throw Jesus out. You don't have to throw Jesus out and standards out and the King James Bible out and old-fashioned godly hymns out. You don't have to do that to get a crowd. But I'll tell you what you have to have, if we're going to see lives change and souls saved, is to have the power of God around there. Doing a little more preach on Wednesday night. I like it. I feel like I've had a bunch of cobwebs in me since Philippines. Let me preach some of it out. You say, preach, that's fine, but not tonight. Well, there's a lot of verses we could use about the terms that are mentioned here, but let me close with dealing with the last three words. As he is, so are we in this world. Oh, when I said that, meditate on them last three words, I thought, how many people say, oh yeah, preach, I will when I get to heaven. Praise God, I'll be like you when I get to heaven. And we know 1 John 3:2 shows that. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him. Here comes the words, as he is.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, preach, when I get to heaven, I'll put this glorified body on. Hallelujah. Watch out. I'll be just like him. No, those last three words identify us when he has in mind in this world. Now, right now, God wants you to be living a Christian life in this world. Amen. We've been saved out of the world. We've been saved from the world and sent back into the world to be a witness. You ever wondered why God wants you to live a different life, to be changed, live a sanctified life, separated life? You ever wondered why that is? I say that today. You ever wondered why that is? It ain't got to do with going to heaven. You know why? Because if that had been the case, then you could find verses in there that would say, if you live right, you can go to heaven. Or if you live moral, you can go to heaven. If you live clean, you can go to heaven. Brother Carroll, why are God's people told and shown throughout the epistles of the New Testament that we're to live a sanctified spiritual life, separated life? Why? It's not so we can go to heaven. It's not to repay God. It's to be a witness in this world of what Jesus can do for sinners. We're to be a witness. We're to show by the way we look, by the way we live, what God has done for us. Well, there's a lot of things we could say here, but listen, we're in the world, but we're not of it. How many times have we heard that little statement made? We're in the world, but we're not of it. The church, listen to this, the church in the old days upset the world.
Yes.
The church in the older days upset the world because they were a clear difference. But now, the church complements the world and consoles the world because there's no difference.
That's right.
And we've all been places to where we saw church groups and we wonder, have they been to church or have they been to a rock concert? In fact, you wouldn't even know it was a church if they didn't get off of a church bus with a church name or have a church t-shirt with a church name on it. I can't tell you the times that we've had people to comment on our youth group and traveling of the dress difference. And not just that, the behavior difference.
That's right.
Just act like you got some sense. That's right. But I'm afraid the church is so much like the world. You know, we say, preacher, we're separated, but the church, where the church is right now, the world was. We're following the pattern of the world. The world used to be here, but now the world has got progressively worse and progressively more wicked, and so the church has moved from this point, Brother Fultz, and now it's way over there. So the church has now moved up to this spot.
Right.
And we can still, some say, oh, we're still separated from the world because the world's over there, but we're just where the church, where the world used to be. Well, amen, that's right. Well, there's several scriptures I won't take time to deal with tonight, but you know what the scripture said in John 15? The world will love its own. Listen to this verse of scripture right here, John 15 and verse 18 and 19. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If the world hate you, if you were of the world, the scripture says, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. How many people in church are trying to be a friend? Now, I'm not talking about being friendly. I believe everybody, God wants us to be friendly. A smart aleck will never be a good witness, never be effective. I've heard Mom use these terms years ago in the mountains, old sourpuss. I don't even know where they get that. Have no idea. That right there won't attract them.
Right.
Amen. Honey will attract a lot easier than vinegar will.
Man.
I guess that's a good analogy. I don't know. Good contrast. But he tells us, let me read this verse. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 through 16. For it is God which worketh in you both the will and to do of his own good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Get that now. We are to be the sons of God, harmless and blameless, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Are we shining for the world, or are we shining in the world? Titus 2, verse 11 and 12, we know these verses. I'll give you this and I'm done. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Where at and when? In this present world. He deals with how we live, but he also deals with where we live that life. It's right now. Nowhere can you find in the scripture where Jesus is concerned about how we're going to live in heaven. But you'll find where he deals with how we're to live now. And most people don't like that. You can deal with You can deal with biblical separation and sanctification in most churches, and I'm telling you, you'll have a fight on your hands.
That's right.
Why? Is it biblical? Of course. But people don't want to hear it. They want the joys of being saved. They want the future of being saved. They just don't want the Lord of salvation to be Lord in their life. But I have serious biblical questions of anybody being saved that rejects Lordship of Christ, the Lordship of Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's not just a title, that's a position. Is he? Amen. If you come to an altar and you say, I just want my sins forgiven. I just want my guilt gone. I just want the conviction gone. I don't want a master. I don't want a master. I want the miracle, but I don't want a master. You forgive. You might as well stay in the seat. God has never saved anybody in their sin and leave them in their sin. He loves you enough that he'll start working on you immediately. And he'll start changing and he'll start turning. And amen. I remember vividly when God saved me, how he started changing my mind, turning my heart away from ungodly music. Hadn't heard no preaching on it. Nobody preached on it. Brother Bain hadn't preached on it. And God started changing my heart toward that music. And I listened to it. Oh, man. What planet is that for? And the only difference was they got saved. The only difference I got saved. Other things, Brother Carroll, that I used to do in my sinful life, you know, all of a sudden now it's just not attractive. And all of a sudden now there's no interest in it. And now it's, oh man.
Right.
Huh? I'm glad God will change you when he saves you.
Amen.
You can't live a life you don't have. And I'm afraid a lot of people's trying to change and straighten up and do better when they don't even have a life to begin with. Anyway, as he is, so are we in this world. I hope God embeds that in our memory, in our heart, where we'll bring everything we do and everything we are in check with that and say, is this Christ-like? Is this Christ-like? And let us not ever forget we're in this world. We're in this world. And what God's doing in this world, he's doing through people. Amen. Let's all stand our feet in prayer. Father, we come to you tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, pray you'll drive home this message in our heart. Drive home this truth in my heart, Lord. Help me, our Father, to be an example. Help me, Lord, to be, Lord, what you want me to be in this regard. And Lord, I pray you'll help me to realize that this is personal. Though the word we included all of us, Lord, help me to look at it from a personal standpoint. That, Lord, that you are my standard. I'm to bring my life into your alignment. Lord, I'm to live as you live. And Lord, I pray the Spirit of God will bring conviction on us when we are not where we need to be and what we need to be. And God, help us, Lord, to desire and endeavor, Lord, to want to be right with you. And to be right with you is to be like you. Lord, help us to have that Christ-likeness. Lord, and that's such a broad subject. Lord, there's no way that we can just put it down in 4 or 5 points, Lord, what Jesus is and what he was like and how he would live if he's here today. Lord, I pray that we would not be ever classified God as a hypocrite and we'd not ever be a stumbling block for sinners. God, help us, I pray, to be a stepping stone for sinners. That sinners would see our life and they'd see something different and they would see something that would stir a curiosity and an interest in them to show them, Lord, that they can have life and have it more abundantly. Because the same Jesus that saved me can save them. And Lord, I want to thank you that really the only difference between me and them is that I've been born again. I pray you'd help us here at the church, Lord, to allow these 9 words to get major and get big in us and on us, individually and a church collectively. Lord, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.